actually quite impressed with their very nuanced response. I'll just read to you part of it. The Orthodox Union is unable to either mourn or celebrate the news reports of the U.S. Supreme Court's likely overturning of Roe v. Wade. We cannot support absolute bans on abortions at any time point in a pregnancy that would not allow access to abortion in life-saving situations. Similarly, we cannot support legislation that permits abortion on demand at any time point in pregnancy and does not confine abortion to situations in which medical, including mental health professionals, affirm that carrying the pregnancy to term poses real risk to the life of the mother. And then I'm skipping a little bit. They indicate that life is a precious gift. Jewish law places paramount value on choosing life and mandates, not as a right, but as a responsibility, safeguarding our own lives and lives of others by behaving properly, saving lives, refraining from endangering others, and that concern extends to the unborn fetus and to the terminally ill. Abortion, therefore, on demand, the right to choose as well as the right to die, are thus completely at odds with our religious and halachic values. Legislation and court rulings that enshrine such rights concern us deeply on a societal level. Yet, the same mandate to preserve life requires us to be concerned for the life of the mother. Jewish law prioritizes the life of the pregnant mother over the life of the fetus, such that where the pregnancy critically endangers the physical health and mental health of the mother, an abortion may be authorized, if not mandated by halacha, and should be available to all women irrespective of their economic status. So therefore, any legislation or court ruling that would ban abortion absolutely, without regard for the health of the mother, would limit our ability to live our lives in accordance with our responsibility to preserve life. Very nuanced kind of presentation, which I think is correct in the sense that it's sufficiently balanced, Mishnei Atzladim, and that's something that is certainly welcome, that kind of balance. So, more or less, what you have in front of you on the Mamikomos, which I more or less discussed on Shavuos night, I'll just briefly, as I said, provide a synopsis. On page number one, I'll just briefly try to go through the pages. Page number one, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Nun Zayin. The Gemara is discussing here the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. And the Gemara indicates that with reference to a Goy, there's a relatively clear statement or a clear statements in Chumash that would essentially, from the perspective of a non-Jew, that hapalat ubarin, or abortion, is tantamount to ritzicha, to retzach. The Gemara he excites, if you look on top of the page, I try to underline every relevant section. First, it tells us that a non-Jew clearly is not governed by the dictates of halacha. Namely, we require two edim, we require batedinim, we require hasua. Non-Jew has none of that. And the Gemara goes on to describe Rabbi Shmuel Amru, this is line number 5, afala ubrin, they're also going to be held responsible. Rashi says, referring to the psukim in Mishpatim, hika sa'isha v'yatsi yuladeh ne'arag aleihem, that as a result of miscarriage, and God forbid, the mother loses her children, that they're going to be chayim misa. Uvisrael achi yetzi le'abri ho'olam. That's a Mishnah, it's a sugya nida, but the Gemara indicates clearly that only when the child emerges, we're talking about a one-day-old child, that's when the din of retzach is applicable. And he quotes Rashi, the Mishnah nida, tinuk ben yom echad ha'or go chayav, hecha dikim le'begavei shekol lo'chadosh ben o'nefel. That also needs a lot of explanation. Generally speaking, we assume 30 days is the period of time where after 30 days, pinyin ha'ben, the child is not called a nefel, the child is considered to be a bar kayama. That is essentially what Rashi says here at the end, but as I said, needs more explication. So the Gemara here quotes two sets of psukim. One pasuk of Yehuda mentions, aches dimchem nafshoseichem edrosh, and then the Gemara cites, mishum rabbi shmuel amru, that there's a reference to Ubrim in the pasuk that was written in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, shofech dam ha'odom ba'odom, where a person sheds blood, the lifeblood of a human being is obviously coursing through the veins. What a drash of Chazal. What's called Adam? What's considered to be Dam Ha'adam Ba'adam?
And the Gemara says refers to an ubar shebimeima. So that's the source, that's the makar that the Gemara quotes here in Sanhedrin. Page number two, there's also well-known Rambam, and the Rambam actually codifies this halacha. Here the Rambam builds the lochim in Perek Tes. But the Rambam writes explicitly that a ben Noach essentially is guilty of Ritzicha for committing an abortion. Ben Noach Shaharag Nefesh, Apilu Uba Rimeimo Neragalov. I'm simply citing the Gemara in Sanhedrin that we just mentioned. On page number three, there's a famous Mishnah, maybe the most famous Mishnah in Maseches Olos. The Mishnah here talks about the following situation, the following scenario. It starts at page three, goes on to page four. Ha'isha, she mekasha lele. The woman is having difficulty in her pregnancy, and there is a kind of hitnakshut, as you would call it in Lashon HaKodesh, in modern Hebrew, a kind of collision between the mother and the child. And the child, the fetus, is threatening the life of the mother. So the Mishnah writes, Mechatkin esablad b'me'el. You have the obligation. Again, the question is this a heter? Is this a chiyuv? It's a whole discussion among the Mefarshim. But the simple pshat in the Mishnah, and as Rashi explains, and as the Batanur actually cites the Rashi, that here we're talking about the mother's life in sakana, the child threatening the mother's life. The child can be essentially, the way the Mishnah writes in a literal kind of fashion, can be cut. The child can be dismembered in order to save the life of the mother. Her life takes precedence over his life. Her life is in sakana. However, yatsa rubo, once a robe of the fetus emerges, ain't no gimbal. So the simple pshat here, however you interpret rubo, there are different interpretations. Rashi, the Batanura, translates Mishayatza Rov Rosho, Mishetse Padachto, a Noginbo. Once the forehead emerges, at that point, the Uba is considered to be Nolan, the Uba has been born, and therefore, according to the way the Batanura interprets, prior to this stage, the Uba is not called an Efesh. And once the Uber emerges, the Uber is now called a Nefesh. Then we have one Nefesh versus another Nefesh. And Dechen Nefesh with Nefesh. Means he's no different than his mother. She's a Nefesh. He's a Nefesh. Or to put it in other halachic terms, they're both Chayei Olam. As opposed to one being Chayei Shoh, one being Chayei Olam. They're both Chayei Olam. Once the child emerges, and therefore, there's no basis for, in effect, sparing the mother and Rahman al-Latsan killing the child in order to save her life. So, in general, the Mishnah is telling us that prior to the point where the child is considered to be a nefesh, her life takes precedence. Once the child is born, once he emerges, however you interpret that, so then that no longer is operative. He's also a nefesh. But prior to that point, lichora, what status does he have? The din of a rodef. It's called a rodef, al pi halacha, just if someone is pursuing someone else, Rahman al-Islam. So the din is, of course, lachatchila, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, that you don't necessarily have to kill the rodef. If you can somehow maim him, simply you're able to more or less sidelight him by injuring different organs, that's what you should do, lachatchila. If that's not possible, and there's a need to, in order to defend the nirdaf, you have to go ahead and literally kill him, then there's a heter to do that as well. Nitan Atzila B'Nafsha. That's how the Gemara Paskins regarding Rodev, and that's what the halacha is regarding this matter as well. On page number, next page, page number five, the Gemara Sanhedrin Davayim Beis, Gemara here has a famous halacha as well, Rav Huna, Katan HaRodev, Nitan Atzila B'Nafsha. Very fascinating thing. What about a child under Bar Mitzvah? HaRodev, he's pursuing someone else. So the halacha is, you're allowed to go ahead and kill the katan, kill the child. Of course, the chiddush is that the katan is not a bardas. Katan is not someone who's considered to have al pidin seichel. He's not a sentient human being as far as onshin are concerned and the like. And therefore, the concept of onshin should not be relevant to a child, to a katan.
It's not onshin, it's to save the person who's the nirdaf.
Fine. Yeah. But the point of the Gemara is that he's called a rodef. Katan HaRodef, the Gemara identifies him as a rodef, even though he doesn't have the requisite level of das that normally would be required for the purpose of punishment. You said correctly, So the Gemara says, Saba Rodev in Atzara Hasra. The Gemara says here, Rodev does not require Hasra, which is another massive chiddush. Loishna Gadol, Loishna Katan. Normally Hasra is a prerequisite. Eight Ainchin Ken Mazirin. The most fundamental principles in halacha. We're not living in the Wild West, although we are. But just an editorial comment. But as far as this halacha is concerned, Loshna Gadol, Loshna Katan, the Gemara says. And the Gemara then asks the Kasha on Rav Huna's din, Eis Rav Chizal Rav Huna, Yotzer Rosho quotes this Mishnah Nolos that we just mentioned. Yotzer Rosho a Noginbo. Once the head of the fetus emerges, you can't touch the fetus. She Dochen Devers Nei Nevers. V'yamai Rodeifu. The Gemara asks the Kasha, and the Kasha seems to be predicated on the assumption that even after Leida, even after the birth of the child has not completely emerged, but partially, and yet the child is still considered to be a Rodeif. That's the pashas of the Gemara, the way the Rishonim interpreted. The Gemara is asking that the child is still considered to be a rodef. And therefore, the Gemara doesn't understand why do we assume now a doch nevesh, a nevesh. So the Gemara answers a very famous answer. Shai Yehosam di mishmaya karatfulei. No, this is part of the natural process of birth. It's not a kodin who's playing with the trigger. It's rather a natural process of birth that's taking place. And therefore, he's not deemed a rodef. And that's why Endoch Nefesh and Nefesh. That's what the Gemara here says. So this is, as far as I know, the only time in Halacha that you can commit murder outside capital punishment is in the case of a Rodef. It's the only time that I know that such an action is permissible. Otherwise, it's awesome. No question about it. But here we say Endoch Nefesh b'nei Nefesh. So Rashi comments over here on the bottom. If you look in the Rashi, and the wide lines, you can actually see, I'm not going to read the entire Rashi, but in line 7, starting from the wide lines going down, the Kozman Shele Yotzeh Lav Ha'olam Lav Nefeshu. So Rashi understands this halacha, that it's not a full-fledged human life. So the mother is a nefesh, the child is not a nefesh, and therefore you can perform an abortion to save the life of the mother. It has nothing to do with Rodef, as Rashi says here, it's a natural process of childbirth taking place. Rabbi Weisschlitter, that we are reviewing that which I did at Shavuos night. So for some of your ilk, it's completely unnecessary. But anyway, the Gemara here, that's what Rashi comments, that we're not yet called an Efesh. Rashi says it actually a number of times. And again, I'm not right now discussing that so much. It's interesting that this may be, and we'll see a bit later, that it is actually connected to another machlokes that the Gemara has all over Shas. Whether Uba Yerachimo or Uba Lab Yerachimo. The question is, how do you view the Ubar? Is it considered to be an integral part of the mother or not an integral part of the mother? It's like the hand of the mother or an extension of the mother in some respects. And it could be, as I said, Ben Noach, where we see that it's more chomor, that there's an issue of retzach, of retzicha, when it comes to killing a fetus on the part of a non-Jew. So it could be that maybe the position of Rashi is that a non-Jew, a fetus, has the status of a full-fledged nefesh prior to birth, unlike that of a fetus of Yisrael. Now, why that should be, I don't have a clue. I mean, if you want a svara, if you want a rationale, I don't fully grasp what the rationale is. At the end of the day, it's exas hakosa. The psukim, the Chazal quote, that indicate that vis-a-vis a non-Jew, we're talking about retzach, and vis-a-vis a Jew, it's not the case. Now, again, I cannot really, as I said, many people have asked me, on Shavuos night they asked me, it's amazing, they were still awake, they asked me this kind of question. And they were very troubled by this, why is there a distinction? So you probably know, I'm not equipped to discuss this. I don't have the arsenal that's necessary, the Kabbalistic arsenal that's necessary to discuss this.
It seems to be O.U.'s response is only talking about Jewish abortions, because it seems...
Correct.
Yes,
that
it
is
seems
correct.
They skipped this issue.
100% correct. but I indicating that... let's start... Again, I'm not getting into this. All animals have a nefesh, but they have no neshama, which is the unique spiritual quality that a human being has. But even that, writes the Baal HaTanya and many Kubbalim, that there's a distinction between a Jew and a Goy. A Jew has a nefesh, which is chelik elokam imal, and the Shabbos is really chelik elokam imal. I'm not here now to discuss nefesh ruach and neshama. I actually discussed that on Friday at the Shira Sen Yerushalayim. But we assume that a ben noach also has a nefesh. However, it could be that regarding the neshama of a non-Jew, his neshama is what the many say neshama abahamis, as opposed to neshama lokis. Okay, I'm not here to, as I said, it's not my area. I try to avoid this engli esek v'nistaros. But I'm just simply indicating that the Gemara here has made a presentation distinguishing between the non-Jew and the Jew. And let's just go a bit further. If you look at Rashi here again, the Rashi said a number of times the Uber is not a nefesh, and therefore, regarding a Jew, there's no issue or of Ritzicha lichora. However, it's clear that, as we'll see in a moment, take a look at page number 6, you can also see in the Rambam, and the Rambam, of course, is going to present a host of problems. And the Rambam is, this Rambam, Nishvach HaBed Yo, the Nishtabru HaBed Kul Musim, and this Rambam. Yes, he does. He writes that very clearly a number of times. But again, that some sefer that Rabbi Weiss quoted correctly, he says even the goof of a Jew is different than the goof of a non-Jew. Okay, that needs, as I said, explication from someone who's schooled in Kabbalah, which I am not. And so I'm simply indicating that I don't have the wherewithal to discuss that intelligently. I want to just mention on page number 6, the Rambam here is discussing in the context of Perakal Shmiras Nefesh. The Rambam is discussing really on the issue of Losamer al Dabri Echa, that the Gemara has in Sanhedrin Davan Gimel, and elsewhere the Gemara in Shas. If someone's in a position to save someone else's life, so you're obligated to do so, Losamer al Dabri Echa. And the Gemara also, and the Rambam also here, discusses Losachos, right before the underlined section. I think I underlined it on page number 6, if I'm not mistaken. We're talking about, again, the Din of Rodef, that Yematzel the Nirdaf, Bekapos Shal Rodef, and Bimen Bechol Matzil Osaf, Benafsho Shenema Losachos Enecha, Harezu Mitzvah Salsasi Shal Olofos Al Nevesh Rodef. Not to have Rachmanos on the Rodef, you have to go ahead and carry out this halacha. Now the Rambam writes, right after this, the following. I underline it. Lefika Choru Chachar Bishohu Ubro Shehi Mekasha Leile, woman who has difficulty giving birth, is the Mishneh Dalos. Muta Lachtocha Ubra B'me'er B'misam B'miyad. You can use any kind of methodology in order to snuff out the life of the Ubar, whether you use it chemically or in any kind of physical way. Neshu Kirodev Acharel Lehorga. Kirodev Acharel Lehorga. I'll also make duke of there. V'imishahotzi Rosho, once the Uber has emerged, namely Rosho, Ein Nogenbo. Shein Doichen Nefesh Menei Nefesh. And then the Ram quotes the Gemara, V'zehu Tivo Shel Olam. Tivo Shel Olam means, Mishmaya Kam Ratfalei. That's inciting the language of the Gemara.
Why is it used Lashon Mutter? It should be Chiyuv.
So that's one question that's asked on the, but I indicated when we learned the Mishnah, it's not poshut. Even the Lashon HaMishnah is not clear. Look back in the Mishnah. Mechatchim esavlat, doesn't say it's a chiyuv. Could very well be only a heter, as opposed to being a chiyuv. Okay, good. Say the Gemara. So there are a number of questions. There are many questions on this Rambam. One of them is exactly the one that you just posed, namely the issue of mutar, that the Rambam writes. A moment ago he said, Lo saseh shel alochus alem sharodeh, lefikach. So lefikach sounds like that the Rambam is not necessarily talking the way Rashi speaks. Namely, Rashi speaks of prior to birth, it's not a nefesh. Subsequent to the birth, it is a nefesh. The Rambam clearly is in the wake of what he spoke about. Lo sachos seinecha, lo lochus alem sharodeh. As Rabbi Kassin and Shlita pointed out, Rambam's mashman is a din of rodev. That's machlokes Rashi and the Rambam, and so many mafarshim on the Rambam understand the Rambam over here, because that's the Gemara's question. The Gemara asked the question that is he not a rodef? And therefore, you should be able to kill the ubar in order to save the life of the mother. And the Gemara answers, no, mishmaya kamarat filei. And the Rambam writes, he quotes, v'zehu tivo shel olam. That's how he understands that Gemara. But prior to the birth of the blood, there's no question the child, the fetus, continues to be a rodef. That's how the Rambam understands the simple pshat in the Gemara. Aye, that's also Tibur Shel Olam. Isn't that also Tibur Shel Olam? The child has, someone just, people ask me all the time, Baruch Hashem, people, women who give birth, so they want to know if they're giving birth in Yerushalayim and they're going from Beit Shemesh to Yerushalayim, what can they carry? So I tell them one of the thousand reasons I made Aliyah, although we didn't have children here. I'm talking about Shabbos, I'm sorry. One of the thousand reasons that we made Aliyah, that here you don't carry anything. I said, what? I've said this the last 28 years. I haven't changed my position. You're going Mechutz Tchum. I'm not saying Mechutz Tchum is a Daraisa, according to the Rif and the Rabbin, is a Daraisa. Machlok is in the Gemara, Machlok is in the Rishonim, Machlok is in Halacha. Why do you have to carry anything? I know in Chutz Aretz, where my wife gave birth, you don't carry your papers, your identification. They won't assist you in giving birth. Had kedekah. So among the thousand reasons for Megaliah. Hope you don't mind, Rabbi Horowitz. I think this is one of them. I'm not saying it's on the top of my list.
There have been cases where hospitals didn't let you in if you went to the hospital.
Shuto kemashmo, but not in Eretz Yisrael.
They happened.
Here? Lo yitochei.
About 20 years ago.
Okay.
Dress up as an Arab.
Okay, I can't compete with Rabbi Horowitz. He just knows too much. But I would say it is davar charig v'nadir. Such a phenomena, I know Chutz Aretz, such phenomena. A number of cases. Okay, then they press me, what do you mean? I have to carry basics. I have no choice, whether it's in terms of basic garments, undergarments, and other kinds of basics. One woman told me basics for her was a Sefer Tehillim. What? By the way, someone else told me that as well. Mishpacha magazine.
Things for the birthing process that the woman needs?
Everything, Baruch Hashem, the hospitals, Chazdei Hashem, we have wonderful hospitals, outstanding doctors, outstanding physicians. I know I have several members of my mishpacha who are physicians here in Eretz Yisrael. Yes?
To what extent is the concept of woman giving birth, kind of give her whatever she needs, a halakhic concept?
Was going with her
on
Shabbos.
What?
To make her more comfortable.
Right. So that's, you know, Rav Soloveitchik had a, I guess, boy, I'm going to get it off the top now. Unhealthy. But what can we do? So I'll put the onus on you, if you don't mind. The Gemara says in Shabbos, a very famous Gemara, the Gemara discusses a woman who's blind giving birth. So the Gemara says that you're allowed to go ahead and turn the light on. So the Gemara asks, turn the light on. The woman can't see. She's blind. The Gemara says, no. Basically, you can do anything, as you indicated, that will relieve her of her anxiety, of any angst. We don't want her to be stressed out. So therefore, she requests that the light be turned on, even though she has no hanor from that, you're allowed to turn the light on. Send her out Soloveitchik. Based on that, it's not just Rav Soloveitchik. I'll just say first what he said, then I'll get to Rav Nevinson and a few others along the way. So the Rav Paskin, that based on that, that a husband is allowed, that's his lashon. He didn't say encouraged, he didn't say mechuyev, to be with his wife in the delivery room at the time, at the moment of Leida. Based on this Gemara, and furthermore the Rav said, and this I heard Rav Nevinson. I asked Rav Nevinson about 20 years ago, the following. The woman wants to come with a birthing coach. Well, I'm shooting. Birthing coach. But then another woman told me she also needs a masseur, someone who will do the massaging. Bills in the pshita. Another one needs a psychotherapist. Basically, so Rabbi Levitzol, in his joking fashion, says to me, "Ani lo makir et ha'tofaot ha'elu. Etzli ani yashavti b'beit ha'midrash." That's what he told me when his wife gave birth. So I said, what, he wasn't there? He said, why would I be there for? What exactly could I do? What capacity do I have? So I said, that today is the vogue. That's in vogue, that the husband should be mechazik his wife and should assist her and give her support, psychological support, emotional support, chizuk, it's chizuk. I'm not sure I've ever so understood what I was talking about, to be quite honest. But there is such a concept. Actually, when my wife gave birth to Chutzar, so the first four births, she wasn't even allowed to be in the delivery room. They didn't permit it. It was considered to be, I don't know, unprofessional, or perhaps they felt there was no need for it. And then the subsequent four, the last, actually, not the subsequent, the first five not, and the last three, yes. So what happened the last three? I fainted number five, and I fainted number six, and then they went to take care of me and forgot about my wife. So she didn't think that was such a great thing. And then the last one, what was the point already? I almost have a chazoka of a katlonis. Anyway, so the shamua, the katlonis, whatever you want to call it. So, but Rabbi Levitzel told me, halacha lemaise, Shlomo Zalman Paskin, he quotes Maran Harav, whoever is necessary, whom she feels is necessary, she's allowed to go ahead and take with her, so you can pick up the birthing coach, and along the way you pick up the psychotherapist, and the masseur, and whatever is necessary to be brought there, who will give her psychological relief, the Psagrav Soloveitchik.
I'm just...
You are
the
half... The Gantz Mishpoch. You are half jesting, I assume. Half. I actually was recently approached, I was called by someone in Mishpacha magazine, and how they got to my name, I don't know, about 3 months ago. And they asked me a question on the telephone, and the question I mentioned was about people who live in an apartment building, and a fellow sees a woman who has young children, and every time he goes shopping, he lives on top, and she lives the floor right below him, and so she asks, she actually felt her children should clearly help this individual, and then he started asking them as well, but he basically, he sits back and they schlep up all his packages. So she wrote in a question to Mishpacha magazine, is that Mercedes? And he's apparently not an octogenarian, he's a young, relatively young man and quite capable of doing it himself. Is that appropriate? So she calls me up, this woman who writes Family First, something along those lines, and asked me what I think about it. So I didn't know, I thought she was Stam. She told me she's Mishpacha magazine, and meanwhile she recorded the conversation. So I didn't know that. She didn't tell me that. And so she recorded the conversation, so I gave her a whole Shekel Torah, right on the spot. I mean, what I thought, Muschel Rishon, that also Tazot Imo, and the Gemara Mabitziya, and a few Rambams along the way, and also I think that I said, Chesed is very choshev in terms of Chinuch, but you should be taking advantage of, and fine. And about a month later, she calls me up and tells me it's going to be published in Mishpacha magazine. I was shocked. I said, maybe you could send me a copy of what I wrote so I could at least see if I wrote something half intelligent or simply was just, as I say in Yiddish, pleidery. So she sent me a copy. Actually, she wrote it up very nicely. It was really very beautifully written. Okay, and actually, three people called me when it was published and told me, wow, you became infamous. Maybe famous, I don't know. And I'm in the Mishpacha magazine. A week and a half ago, another woman calls me from Mishpacha magazine. So this is already is getting out of hand. And she asked me about the following question, which I didn't understand the issue. And she said, we saw what you wrote in the last Mishpacha magazine, I don't know when it was, a few months ago. And so she asked me the following question. Do I have the right to falsify a document? We had this discussion, Stephen, you and I, but everyone falsifies documents. So is it permissible? Is there any problem with it?
I said to myself, what document?
Wow, you are, Baruch Hashem, I see a bit of a flaming liberal. To my mind, it is an Isur min HaTorah. Dictates to us we have to be honest, completely and totally honest. Now your argument is there are sometimes when there are, what? So that's the argument. The argument was that everyone does it. So that automatically gives it some sort of credence or gives it some sort of credulity. I don't agree with that. It's posher to me that unless extraordinary circumstances, we spoke about this, extraordinary circumstances, I think it's awesome. I think it's Issa Daraisa, Altidekah. And also, I don't think it's proper Chinuch. I think it's terrible Chinuch. And I'm involved with this, Kolayom Kohalayla. I mentioned this already a few times in this shul publicly. Whether it's halal spaces in Kablanim, and I'm telling you, the whole kin kaboodle. So they learned not to ask me these questions. Baruch Hashem, they ask other Rabbanim. Other Rabbanim, Baruch Hashem, have a koach. They have Teru Odif, as the Gemara says. I don't have such a koach, they have Teru Odif. And then when they stop asking me these questions, I'm quite pleased that no one asked me these questions. I probably should do that in other areas as well, and this way they won't ask me any questions. Okay, but I back over here, and that is on this Rambam. So there's a number of difficulties with this Rambam that require some birur. Number one is the Lashon HaMutter that you mentioned, that also that needs, and where does the Rambam agree with the Rashi? So I said, I think that seems, and that's a Mefarshim here. I saw many interpret the Rambam the way I mentioned to you, both the Igris Moshe, the Rav Chaim Briska, the Eben Ezel, the Tzitz Eliezer, they assume it's based on Rodev. Because the Rambam is falling upon the heels of the Din of Rodev that he mentioned a few moments ago. So that's what Kimat, and I'll show you some of this later in the course of the next while. And what is the most difficult issue, which is really not the only issue on the Rambam, there are other issues on the Rambam to get to, but the most difficult issue is the Gemara, as that's found on the next page. On page number 7, this Gemara is it's fundamental and basic to this entire discussion. Namely, the Gemara could not fathom, how is it possible that the non-Jewish world has a chumrah that we don't have? That in terms of, that's what Gemara calls, if you take a look at the Lashon of the Gemara that's found over here, on the last 4 or 5 lines, Leka meidam de Yisrael shari ulavik chambasa. The Gemara could not fathom such an idea. That their halacha is more chomer than ours is. How could that possibly be? That's the Gemara's kasha. And the Gemara goes back and forth here, whether it was repeated in Sinai, not repeated in Sinai. There's a thesis here, which is quite significant. On the bottom of that from Desimon Aleph, maybe we'll read a little bit. I sort of bracketed this thesis. Leka meidam, you see that? The Yisrael shari. So thesis says, B'davashu mitzvah de Yisrael, but something is a mitzvah for us, so then we don't apply this principle. No, and Taisa brings a raya. The Gemara says, that's the Gemara on Sanhedrin also. A guy can't observe Shabbos, usually with reference to Gerim. What they do is a Kivega, and other Achrayim point out that you simply, a Ger who is going to be taught the basics of Gerim, so he has to be taught all the mitzvahs. And what about Shabbos? So they more or less, when it comes towards the end, they're about to be Meguyar, they observe Shabbos with one exception. They have a Chal Shabbos in one area, and that's already considered to be not a violation of the Salocha, Goshen Shabbos, Chayim Misa. And means they're not being Shabbos, because they have a Chal Shabbos, be Kavona. And then he writes further, Li Yisrael Mitzvah, Avagav, the Bishayni, Bishabbos, Ein Mitzvah, the Yisrael, Mekomukam, Yeshu, La Mitzvah, Shishah, Shabbos. Taisus here is pointing out, why not for Shabbos? Taisus says, any day which is essentially like Shabbos, even if it's Monday or Tuesday, and you are Shabbos, you decide to go ahead and observe Shabbos that day, Chayim Misa, that the Gemara would be applicable. And even Taisa goes on to point out that, and this is what Achronim pointed out, even Gerim Asim is Gaya, they are not able to observe Shabbos Lagamri. That's exactly how we know it, Halacha Lemaisa today. They have to do something on Shabbos or Malacha, so there shouldn't be Nitvas in Shmir Shabbos, so it shouldn't be in violation of this Halacha. So Taisa says, the Kasha, that the Chorot is a stira against the cloud. The Gemara says the Goy can't be more chamor than a Jew. Here we see apparently there's something to also to a Goy, namely Lishmar Shabbos and Mutar to a Jew. A Jew, of course, has to be Shomer Shabbos. That's Tesis Kasha. So Tesis answers that B'davashu Mitzvah, that's the first line of Tesis. If something involves a Mitzvah, we don't apply this principle. This principle is not applicable. Now, this doesn't contradict the principle of Mi'ika Midi. Because the Jew has a mitzvah to keep Shabbos, and the Goy, it's also to keep Shabbos. And then Tosfos goes on. I want to just read to you the part that's relevant to our discussion over here. Tosfos says, the other Ubrim, what about the issue of feticide, the issue of abortion? So Tosfos says, the Oyvi Chom Chayiv Yisrael Potter, Avagav the Potter, Mikom Makom Lo Shari. What a line. Even though there's a tour, however, it is not permissible. What a statement. Misis Potter mi Misa, a Jew who engages in abortion is not chayiv for the death penalty, but is not allowed to do it. So it doesn't contradict the principle of Mika Midi, because it's usher for Yisrael as well. The only difference is the punishment. In the case of a non-Jew, his punishment would be a chayiv Misa. In the case of a Jew, we will have to see exactly what the issue is, what the punishment is. But the implication of Tosfos is that the nature of the Isar by the Yisrael is unclear. And also, what does he mean when he says Lo Shari? I saw the Meshach Chochma writes that a Jew would be chayiv misa v'nei shamayim. We're going to discuss this in Mitzvah Hashem in the course of these shiurim. But Tosfos says that it's asa. Now, what is the isa? Is this an isa d'rabbanan or an isa d'oraisa? He says Lo Shari. What does that mean? Is that rabbinically interdicted, or is it actually perhaps even an isa d'oraisa? Poshim shat lefi anius daiti. When I read this text, it says Lo Shari. There's another text we'll see in a moment. Also says something similar. I would say it's an Isad Daraisa for a Jew. Because it would only be an Isad Rabbanan, so then that this would contradict the principle of Meika Mini. It must be Nisa D'Aisa. I don't see any other way to emerge from this thesis. Mizmin HaTorah is also to Ben Noach, and it's Mutar Yisrael, but there's some Isa D'Aisa here. We don't exactly know what it is. Matter of fact, Taisa says further, next line, Biu Koshe, Davin and Perek Ben Tzorah Mora, he quotes our Gemara, Yatzah Rosho, Ein Noginbo, Ein Dochen Nefesh, Ein Nefesh, Abu Kodesh Yatzah Rosho, before the head emerges, HaChaya Poshet Es Yodah, V'chadcheyu Le'eborim, U'motziyah Kedei Lahatzil Es Imo, V'chiyah Gavna Ba'akum Oser, Kemen Jehuz V'alu Obrim, Taisa says to Kasha, that by Yisrael you can perform abortion, but to save the life of the mother. What about a non-Jew? So Tesis assumes that a non-Jew cannot do an abortion to save the life of the mother. By the way, this is probably the position of the Catholic Church, as I understand it. I read a lot, actually. I grew up as a youngster near a Catholic Church. We lived literally next to a Catholic Church. So the pastor, the Galach, used to speak to me all the time. So my father, Shom, got wind of it, and he was frightened that who knows what would happen, what he would do, what he was trying to be, quote-unquote, Makarabi. But as a result, I read a lot about Catholicism. I have a strong interest in Catholicism. I also have an interest in Judaism, I'll tell you that. But I also have an interest in Catholicism and the contrast between the Catholic Church. I had actually one of my professors in Yeshiva University was a historian who had a non-observant Jew, but a brilliant historian. His name was Marin, Albert Marin. He taught actually... Yeah, so I took him for several courses because he had this thing with the Catholic Church. And he attempted to show how fatuous their religion was and all the contradictions. Even he actually read, he was more fluent with the New Testament than he was with the Old Testament, unfortunately. This fellow was a bookie in the New Testament. Because of him, I read the New Testament. There were others also who compelled me to read it. I remember I asked Aban Soloveitchik whether I'm allowed to do so. I was a very young man, Baruch, and I read the New Testament, and because he assigned it. So I asked Avraham Soloveitchik, so he thought the heter was only Lahavinu Lahares. That's the heter. But if you are involved in, he asked me if I'm involved in ecumenical dialogue. I was 18 years old. What in heaven's name ecumenical dialogue am I involved in? So the answer is I was involved with that priest, but that was way before 18. I was 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 years old. So I was involved in ecumenical dialogue. I didn't know what to say to Avraham Soloveitchik. There was another professor, David Berger, who was an outstanding, wonderful, wonderful, absolutely tzaddik yisod olam, but also an academician, par excellence. I took several courses with him. Also courses on biblical polemics and polemics with the Catholic Church. I was somehow, Rabbi Brat always got involved in those matters. So, and the same issue came up, he assigned to us as well, New Testament and the like. And so there again, Rabban Soloveitchik this time had a conversation directly with him because he knew this fellow quite well. And so the issue was, we basically were trying to extricate ourselves from doing work, let's be honest, as opposed to being concerned about reading the New Testament and the like. Okay, but I'm just saying, Tyson says here at the end, basically, he assumes that's the halacha. I mean, the heter to abort to save the life of the mother by a Jew, the fetus is not called a nefesh. And that's what he writes in the last two lines. Maybe by a non-Jew, it will be permissible. Okay, I'm simply showing to you that, again, Tesis has several answers why there's no contradiction regarding this principle and the principle of imik amidi. Okay, but I just simply want to now more or less just summarize the Rashi and the Rambam. I don't want to go on here the whole night. I don't think it's appropriate, even though I can easily do it. But okay, I don't know what time is the limitation. Maybe you can just tell me, Stephen, maybe you'll...
3 a.m.?
No, let's be honest. So,
it's 9:30
is fine. If 9:30 is all right with you, so I'll try to follow that, and then we'll continue in the... hopefully in the near future. I'm saying, so basically you have two opinions that I see here regarding this issue. One opinion is Rashi, that Rashi says here, and others adopt the position of Rashi, that the Uber is not called the Nefesh till it's born, and therefore, from that point on, after it's born, it's considered to be a Nefesh. Now, a non-Jew, apparently, let's assume somehow that it's called a Nefesh even prior to birth, as I mentioned earlier. I don't know what the rationale, what the explanation for that is. But the fact of the matter is that Ben Noach, who kills an Uber, is Chayav Misa, and therefore that's the position of Rashi. The Rambam seems to say that the basis of Apollos Ubrim, as far as the Hatzalah of the mother, is based on the din of Rodef, and Rodef, of course, Lichora, would be relevant to a Ben Noach as well, because a heter for a non-Jew to kill the Rodef if he's running after the Nirdaf. And this, again, the look at that Rambam, I think it was on page number 2, that I cited that Rambam.
Compare it to a
Chatsi Puta, to a Gerlof. Yeah, Ben Noach, says, and even on Pav Shara Puta, is, there's no Shurim, all the Shurim don't apply to a non-Jew, to a Ben Noach. Nerag Afil HaPav Shara Puta. You're right, I see what you're trying to, I mean, there are distinctions, clearly. But I'm simply indicating that this is the fundamental Machlokes Rashi and the Rambam regarding this matter. I just want to go a bit further, if you don't mind. If you look at page 10 that of this handout, just skipping the... page 10 is the Gemara in the Erechim, but the Gemara, this is also a very famous Mishnah. The Mishnah says in Erechim, Dav Zayin, Mishnah says that, maybe I should just be fair, just quote the Tesis and Chulin first. Look at that page number 8 first. Page number 8, similar to what we just saw a moment ago in the Tesis in Sanhedrin. So he wrote on Lami Gimel and Chulin, I underlined it. In the Tesis, the second Tesis on the page, he writes, Yavagad to Bendoch, Nerag ala Ubrim, Kiniyam Bahasa, Yisrael, Eno Nerag, Nihid the Potter, Mikom Kom Lo Shari. Twice Tesis says this. It's not permissible. But we don't know what exactly the Isser is. I maintained a few moments ago, it's an Isser Min HaTorah, it's for sure. But what Isser Min HaTorah, you have to discuss that. Now, going on page 10, so here the Mishnah writes in Erchin, and Av Zayin, also a very famous Mishnah. Mishnah says, Aisha Shiyatza Lehoreg, a woman who's on the execution block. Ein Mamtin La Chetele. What a statement. That you don't wait till she gives birth. But Aisha Shiyatza Lamashber, Mamtin La Chetele. If she's on the breast stool, then we wait till she gives breath. So the question is, why don't we wait in the first case? Rashi explains, we're talking about Rashi says it's one unit. The mother and the fetus are considered to be one unit. Mashenki, in the second case, where she's on the birthing stool, then we wait till she gives birth. Says Rashi, the kevan de okar v'no mimkomo gufachrino. The child is on its way out, and the child is moving about, and therefore it's considered to be a separate entity.
Is that rational that she tells him? It's like, she said, not considered a nefesh, so before she is...
I don't think he's operating with that concept of nefesh, but rather, here the issue is, do we say that...
Exactly,
that issue. That seems to be the intent of Rashi over here, with Ubi Yarachim, Olav Yarachim. By the way, the Rishonim point out, and we'll see actually this in the Gemara in a moment, but the reason that, this is where there's a difference between Torah law and secular law. The issue really, Ha'isha Sheyatza Lehar Gein Mamtina Law, because of Ini Hadin. Ini Hadin, which is essentially, if someone is sentenced to death, the punishment has to be carried out, miyad, without any delay. So that's what the Mishnah is saying, the first halacha that the Mishnah cites. It means you can't sit for, I don't know, 10 years in death row according to halacha. That's absolutely inappropriate. People constantly refer to the present trial, whether it's the Rosh Hashanah, I'm talking about Netanyahu, which is everything here goes on for years.
But in Adin, the mother probably wants the child to be born.
Okay.
It's a little bit of a...
I agree. I hear that issue as well. But I'm saying, but again, if she's in labor and the fetus is on the way out, I mean, I'm just presenting what Rashi here seems to indicate.
Is that different than the head showing already? Is that a different...
I mean, it would seem so. I mean, the...
It sounds different.
It sounds different, that's correct. I mentioned Shavuos night, I don't recall now, but if I'm not mistaken, so there, when the Tesis here says twice, both in Chulin and in Sanhedrin, that lo shari, there's some Isa Daraisa, even on the part of a Jew, for Hapolos Ubrin. I mean, again, we asked earlier, why is the Ben Noach more chomor in terms of punishment? I'm just now thinking out loud again. So I suggested, I believe, that maybe, again, you could, this is speculative, but Alpi Hashkofa, it seems to me that any avera that a Jew does, he's liable for capital punishment. This is Ramban in Chumash, Ramban of Vayikra, in the context of Karbanos, where the Ramban argues with the Ramban says the whole idea of Karbanos is to wean the people away from the idolatry of Egypt. That's what he writes in the Mor of the Buchim, and that the Ramban is attacked across the board. How in heaven's name can he make such a statement? And even the your man, the lawyer, the Rambam's lawyer, the Ababadel, I call him the Rambam's lawyer, that's his defense attorney. You know, he sometimes also becomes frustrated with the Rambam. A number of times he becomes frustrated.
He tried to be master him to the Ramban. He
the same, but at the same time, this Rambam is under attack across the board because the argument is the Torah devoted so many parshas to Karbanos, and there's literally a fair number of Masechtos, Kachim, devoted to Karbanos, and then the Rambam says it's only to negate an erroneous kind of notion. That's the reason why the Torah presents the parsha of Karbanos. Very difficult to countenance. My Rebbe Adisim Alpin, that's how I thought that the Rambam is based on a pasuk in Chumash. Namely, the pasuk says that it tells you that we should not be makir vasiirim Hashem zaynim achareim. He thought that's the mocker for the Rambam, that pasuk here, Rabbi Horowitz.
Well, I was thinking, you know, something erroneous could have a massive effect.
Okay, I understand, but because of that, the entire thing should be to negate a misconstrued, mistaken, erroneous kind of notion. That's the whole basis of Karbanos. There's nothing positive. So anyway, the Ramban posits the following thesis, which Rav Soloveitchik was in love with, literally in love with. He's quoted literally every Monday and Wednesday, every Mitzvah and Dolishtim. Then the Ramban says that every Eber has a specific tafkid, has a function. The moment the person, God forbid, does an Avera with that particular Eber, that Eber loses its chus kiyum, loses its right to exist. That Eber is chayil ploya. That Eber should suffer excision, should be cut off. That's what Ramban writes. But the Ribbono Shel Olam, in his kindness and his wondrous chesed, his bountiful, largest, Ribbono Shel Olam gave us the opportunity, similar to the Akedah Ma'aleh, the other times below. But our salvation called the doctrine of substitution. That's how we defined it. Namely, Zeh Tachazeh. That's what we do in the Akedah. They said a whole Tshuva, the Rosh Hadis as well, that's printed in Al Tshuva. And so I thought, based on this Ramban, I'm trying to give a hezber, which I don't know if it will meet your standards, but essentially for every avera that we do, we should receive capital punishment. Because a person forfeits his right to that avera or to life. Hashem gave us the chayvam, we should fulfill the mitzvahs and the like. And I go against the wishes of Hashem. Of course, I'm talking about the mezid. I'm not discussing where it's an ones, I'm not discussing where it's a shogeg. Dafka be'enes, where I do it with malice. Malevolently, with malice forethought. Ah, you're the lawyer. Anyway, so if that what goes on over here, so then basically that's a tnai cut on the maisa. I forfeit my right to. I'm going against the Ratzon Hashem. A ben Noach, who's chayav mitzvah, is chayav mitzvah ben Noach. But we have a special mission, and that's why we are treated generally differently than the non-Jewish world. So we deserve capital punishment, but because we have a special connection with Hashem Yisbarach, the Tamar Dvora, Ramesh Gonavero, calls us Sher Basa Shalibana Shalom. We are his consanguinity. We are his closest of kin. We are relatives. So that Kurva, and that's why the punishment is lightened. But as far as a non-Jew is concerned, at least we got Zayim Mitzvah, I think I mentioned also, Rasul Eshik on another occasion, I've said this a number of times, he thought that this is also very original thinking, Gedarko, that the Gemara Megillah, that's Mechala between Tashmishe Kedusha and Tashmishe Mitzvah. Gemara says Tashmishe Mitzvah, the halacha is Nizrokin. Tashmishe Kedusha, Nigdozin. Tashmishe Kedusha, we're talking about a Sefer Torah. We're talking about something that's embedded, has Kedusha embedded in it. And Tashmishe Mitzvah are a Lulav and Esrog, Dalamidim, etc., things of that sort. So of course you have to throw it away, discard it in a Makovitic fashion, but still Nizrokin. So he thought that the status of a Goy is Tashmishe Mitzvah. Al-Pi Alocha, because he only is obligated to fulfill Shem Mitzvah. And there's no din of Kvura by a Goy. No Alocha of Kvura. Because Tashmishe Mitzvah, Nizrokin. Mashenki, Tashmishe Kedusha, a Jew, 630 Mitzvahs, Nignozin, Geniza, that refers to Kvura. He referred to a Ramban in the Pashat Kisaitse. The Ramban says over there, Ki Yev Ish Chet Mishpat Mavis Vahumas, Vesaliso So Aleitz, Leisolim Devlas Aleitz, Ki Kavotik Renu Vayomahu, Ki Kilas Elokim Toli. So Ramban there on the spot comments that Yeshua ben Nun, when he essentially took care of the 31 kings, the 31 Malachim in Eretz Yisrael, So they were hung up, quote, so to speak, to dry. And then that same day, they had to be taken down because not in Eretz Yisrael, there's a din of kvura because of the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. So he also had this distinction between a Jew and a non-Jew. He put it in terms of tashmisha, mitzvah, tashmisha, kedusha. And because they're only mechuyim shalem mitzvah, so they don't have a goof. Maybe this is some sefer that you mentioned earlier. Perhaps that's connected to this idea as well. But Hayotzim called Bareinu, because we have a special yachas with Hashem is Barach, so therefore our punishment is lighter. Now that sounds discriminatory, prejudicial. Yes, that's right. Hashem is prejudiced towards Klal Yisrael. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that in a politically correct world. It's Lamita Shel Torah, Dvarim Pshutim. Asalvezhi was also fond of his uncle, the Brisker Rav, as a very famous piece that he writes in the very beginning of the Chedusha Grizal HaTorah. So there he points out the Gemara Nabi Lazar, the beginning, the Gemara said, Lassid Lavo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give out Schar V'Onesh, and of course now all the non-Jewish nations line up, and they said, wow, everything we did was for Klal Yisrael. The Romans built everything that was for Klal Yisrael, and bridges and aqueducts, and all these engineering, technological ingenuity that they demonstrated was all for Klal Yisrael. So Rav Shon answers them and says, Shoytim Shebaylam. That's the lashon that how Rav Shon responds. You foolish people. Kol ma she'asitim b'tzorach atzmechem asisim. You did it for yourself, for your own self-aggrandizement, for your own covet, for your own wealth, whatever it may be. Frank the Brisker Rav, why shoytim? Shakronim. They're liars, pathological liars. So the Brisker Rav says, no. All that the non-Jewish world does, it's all for Klal Yisrael. The whole world revolves around Klal Yisrael. Now, you tell this to any, shall we say, yeah, sometimes even to a Jew, that sounds pretty racist.
It's Gemara
and Vomis, too. It's Gemara and Vomis. Ain't Lechama Yisrael. You're from that
Gemara? Right.
Yeah, Pesukim in Tanakh. Pesukim in Va'era. Three times in Tanakh, Rashi mentions that Gemara in Yavomis. That a pasuk in also in the Navi. Navi says it very clearly. So, this idea that it's all... Can I tell you, I was in the Vietnam period. And I was frightened stiff. They were going to draft me. And so all of a sudden I became a smicha student. Just to avoid the draft. I'm being honest. That time in Borough Park, wow. The whole Borough Park became smicha students.
And you paid for it for 50 years now.
What was that?
You paid for it by being a
that's what my wife always says. That the rabbinate and the like is not a job for a Jewish boy. Anyway, so the... she was saying that for close to 50 years. Anyway, so the so I became a smicha student. I was a biology major. Quantum mechanics and genetics and physics and calculus. And the way my father thought, that's what I should operate. My father's a Cooper Union man. Physics and engineering. So he didn't understand, what's this Clay Kurdish? What kind of a business is that? This smicha stuff, etc. But I had no choice. I had to switch. I didn't think I was necessarily fit to deal with the Viet Cong. I don't think I would handle that well. Maybe I'd tell them Shtickle Terra, but other than that, I don't know what else I could do. So, I say all this goes back to the basic distinction between a Jew and a non-Jew, which it's hard to be Masbir. I don't have a...
Does anybody say different? Isn't that the standard Jewish...
Wow!
I mean, everything I've ever
heard. But no, the Brisker Rav is—he quotes Mamre Chazal, gracious. Oh boy, I'm holding here. Bishul HaTorah Shenikra Reishis, Bishul Yisrael Shenikra Reishis, Rabban right there on the spot. So it's all Rav Eliashiv. Someone wrote a sefer on Amir Lakan, a very beautiful sefer. Today, there's no shortage of svarim as you every shul, and it's unbelievable. Among the thousand reasons to make Aliyah, Rabbi Horowitz. Just there are more svarim here written in 1 week than there are written in the United States in 5 years. I'm not joking. All the svarim that are in every shul that they sell for relatively cheap prices, and I have to smuggle them into my house sometimes. My wife said to me, make up your mind, either you or the svarim. So I had a stomach. I started thinking about it a little bit. I'm just joking.
The shelves in the office.
What?
The shelves in the
Thank
office.
You, Shekrach. Anyway, so... this Yisod of the Brisker Rav, that's what he writes. Rabbi Kasten, unbelievable, Barichos. So this Hagdama to Amir Lakam, Rabbi Yashir writes a Hagdama. He quotes Pesukim in Tanakh, V'oyim Olochim Omnayich, V'sorosei Minikosayich, the entire function of the Umas HaOlam is just to serve Klal Yisrael. Could you imagine saying something like this publicly? That their entire, the Shabbos Goy is exactly what their role is. So he writes in the Akdama, the Sefer, Stephen. So maybe I, with my quote-unquote flaming liberal kind of background, you know, just have a sort of a cast at you, it's Pashut, okay?
Those what does that mean? I mean, there's billions of Goyim that never came in contact with a Jew.
It doesn't make a difference. The whole world was basically designed to come to the idea, the whole Tanakh, from Bereshit to Divrei Hayomim, to come to Hashem Echad Mishmorecha. And we are the ones who facilitate that happening. We are the vehicle for that to happen.
That's very different from saying that the Goyim are here to serve us.
Well, I'm not sure on this. Okay, this is.
I'm fine with it if they are.
The Alshem actually says that really the whole world was supposed to have a Shem Yisrael, but with Dor HaPalaga,
that's
they
what
lost
caused
it,
the.
And therefore, Avram Avinu got it.
Okay.
So
it's also not racist from point of view. They can all convert. No one's stopping them.
Right. That's right. Russell Lissi had this also. Kedarka Bakodesh. He had such an imagination. He was so creative, beyond creative. So he understood Pesukim in Chumash with reference to when Moshe Rabbeinu offers the Egyptians, Gamato titem yodenu zvachim ba'elos, v'asinu l'Hashem Elokeinu. So right away he understood that pasuk as meaning, I almost fell off my chair. That he was inviting the Egyptians to convert based on the Gemara Chagiga, namely certain kabbonos that had to be brought, b'shoshen dvarim nichud yisrael debris, and so this was a offer that they should become part of Klal Yisrael. Then he had one of the Haftarahs that they're going to come and celebrate Chag HaSukkos. It's going to be one mass conversion of the entire world, and they're going to recognize the beauty and the truth and the authentic truth of Klal Yisrael, of Hashem Echad, of Shmo Echad. And that's how he saw these psukim. I thought it was a bit of a stretch. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that about my Rebbe, but the older I get, the worse it's getting. Anyway, so the that was his. Okay, so I hear what you're saying, Jesse. Okay, I'm going to stop because I'm early past 9:30. And please, I will continue. There will be a series now on this topic. So if you want to hold on to it, if you want to give it back to me, you can, and then I'll return it to you next time. It's a show.